Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you join us today. This is where people of different backgrounds cross paths to expand kingdom opportunities. Amen. Glory to God. We're so blessed to have back with us today our good friend Tom Donnan. Tom has come across some things that we both felt was needful for you to find out about. Concerning the end times, concerning things that you see on television. And today we're going to talk about natural disasters and what could be behind everything you see. You know, it's not global warming. It's not, you know, the fault of man. This is things that God has put in place from the beginning of time that at the end of time should be revealed to the believers and to the unbelievers as a way of demonstrating God's power, his promises, his faithfulness, and try and get them to realize they need Jesus. Oh boy, does this world need Jesus right now. Help me welcome to the program our good friend Tom Donnan. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. You know, it's always fun. The two of us have a lot of fun when we have conversations, so I've been looking forward to this.
Amen. Me too. Now, you know, we're talking about a video that we've seen. Let's see when, if I can find out when it was made. Do you have that information there, or by who?
Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. I got it right here in front of me. Okay. And
I got September 28, 2018. So it was just last week at the time of this recording.
Yeah, it was okay. Pretty recent.
And there's no name. It's just the account. And I'll give the name, and if you're interested in looking at it, I highly recommend you do. Just type that into YouTube, and it should come up. It's Mr., just like M-R, then M as in Mary, B as in boy, 333. Mr. MBB 8, I'm sorry, Mr. MBB 333. And type that in, and Earth's slowing rotation, and it should come up. And Tom, this is an interesting concept that you know, I had not heard anything about the Earth's rotation starting to slow down, and that's it, everything in the video makes sense, but I just have not heard that. What have you heard it before?
No, that was the first time that I remember coming across it. This YouTube user that you were, or channel that you were talking about, is that he has this weather phenomena. And often he comes up with things that I hadn't heard before, which starts the down the road of checking it out, you know, to see
right.
Information, because you have to check things out. You just can't accept it. And so of course, he references articles in his YouTube. And so that helps bring the validity, because I think he does the same thing. He wants to have a good name in the information.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't want to get, you know, labeled someone that puts false information out there. So I agree. You know, the information and the references he has, I mean, it adds value, validity, as we said, to the concept. And I recommend our listeners should go and check out the video, because it is really interesting video. It really is. But we also, not just that one person putting this information out, there are other things going on. We've talked about it a little bit on prior episodes about Yellowstone and how Yellowstone is, you know, a lot of scientists are looking at Yellowstone saying, you know, this is not going to be a good thing if Yellowstone erupts. The type of explosion they're talking about from Yellowstone would decimate basically all of the agriculture in the United States for years to come. Because all that would drift across the plains, the way the winds blow, and the gets up in the jet stream, just carries it east. Let's talk about Yellowstone for a little bit.
Okay. All right. You know what comes mind here is that there are cycles and increases and decreases in earthquakes and swarms that they've had at Yellowstone over the years. All right, so but when you put it with some of the other things that we're going to be talking about here, is that you start to see that the world is acting in ways that we have never seen before. And so I was the type of person as a child, I used to like to listen to the adults talk, you know. And so people might, you know, the rest of the kids might be out playing or doing something else, and I would be listening. And I will say from my grandparents and all the knowledge that they had and my parents and my experiences at 66, there are things that are going on in the world that nobody has ever experienced before, you know. And so that's what really brings the knowledge of what is going on in the timeline that we are in, and you know, the end, let's say the end times. All right, so now coming back to Yellowstone, Yellowstone is definitely seeing an upswing in activity. I did come across a second YouTube which talked about the frequency of these eruptions. Now, there is a geyser that is phenomenal. They call it Steamboat Geyser. Now, it erupts irregularly, so it might go, oh, 5, 6, 7 years without an eruption, but when it does erupt, oh, if your people like, if your people like to watch this stuff, when this, when on YouTube, there's quite a few there, when this thing goes off, it is like shoots water from 150 feet to 300 feet, and not just for a couple of minutes. We're talking for like anywhere from 15 minutes to sometimes 45, and then the steam, the steam afterwards is like deafening. It's just absolutely amazing. So we're talking about a huge evacuation of water that is coming up, and then the steam afterwards. So it, it is a phenomenal thing to be able to catch that eruption. It had to be there at the unique time that it is actually going off. But what there was a connection from one of the people that were posting the YouTubes that when you have a large earthquake in Alaska is when there seems to be an increase in a number of eruptions that is happening at this Steamboat Geyser. And so it's happened. What was it? Well, each time that there's like a close to an 8 or above an 8 is when Steamboat goes off. So there seems to be a change in the tectonic plates, which shows up in these geysers in Yellowstone, which has been going absolutely crazy lately. Ones that haven't been going off for like decades are now all of a sudden, you know, going up. They had to close the boardwalk, I think 2 weeks ago. They closed it for a couple weeks. Because one of the geysers underneath the boardwalk started going off and it was affecting it. And, of course, you know, we're talking several hundred degrees of temperature here. And you can't have people walking on the boardwalk and having a geyser go off.
Yep. I walked that boardwalk, and just being on the boardwalk, you were sweating because it was so hot, you know, where the normal temperature is like 65, 70 degrees. When you're walking the boardwalk, it's 90, you know. I mean, it's like, wow, you know. And you don't really understand just how hot that hot water really is. You
know? Yeah. Yes.
And stink. It stunk. Golly. Oh, the sulfur gas, you know.
The sulfur. Yeah. Yes. And so the if anybody that is listening hasn't been there, it is probably one of the most unique places in the earth.
It's beautiful.
The uniqueness of it is so fascinating. And so because of the thermal activity that is underground is what creates the uniqueness there. Yep. But they are talking about how the magma is moving below the caldera, which is absolutely huge because it's a supervolcano. And as it moves, they can tell because it makes a certain sound. And so they are watching that. And, of course, they have uplift in the ground. And so they are seeing different activities. They've closed off a road from time to time because of the fact that it got so hard that the hot that the tar was melting, you know. And so, yeah, there are things that they are paying attention to that are showing changes, earth changes that we're talking about.
And they're saying that, you know, the if this thing was, it's a supervolcano, what that means, scientists say, is it if a supervolcano should blow, it's 1,000 times more powerful than a normal volcano, like you see out in Hawaii with Kilauea and all that. You know, it would, well, it says that if it blew, it'd throw so much ash in the air that it would bury the Northern Rockies in 3 feet of ash and devastate the states of Wyoming, Idaho, Colorado, Montana, and Utah. And the Midwest and both coasts of the United States would get between a few inches to a few feet of ash. And yeah. I'm looking at a map that they put together that shows the ash all the way over to Raleigh, North Carolina on the map. Yeah. Just to give people an idea. I mean, this thing is huge, and it is rumbling. I mean, this is, they say right now there's no cause for panic, you know, all that, which is, you know, I mean, what else are they going to say, you know, right? But it's just something that to watch. It's one of the things that we're talking about, that these are some of the signs that are happening. And it's because it's part, the Rocky Mountains are part of what is called the Ring of Fire, right? And the Ring of Fire, go ahead and explain what that is, because that is not dealing not just with the United States. This is dealing with the whole Pacific Ocean region.
Well, that's where the tectonic, different tectonic plates are coming together. And, of course, you have built up friction. And when the friction releases, then you have the earthquake. And along the Ring of Fire, of course, is a lot of volcanoes. You know, and in this last year, there has been as many as 50 or maybe a few more volcanoes going off at one time, which is a high amount. Not that it's the worst that they've ever seen. And I think we mentioned last time that there was a resurgence of activity in the volcano that's called Krakatoa in Indonesia. Now, that was a volcano that had exploded in such violence that a tsunami wave was registered flowing around the Earth four times. And the tsunami wave of that was over 100 feet high. And because it was in the 1880s, the population was low. Now, if something like that happened today, it would be absolutely devastating. But now what's happening is that it's erupting again, and that it is actually above the ground in a cone, which is building. It's building. Yeah. Because of the new eruptions. So as the Ring of Fire becomes active, then you have the seismic waves. And what did we just have? We just had, what was it, a 7.5, I think, with Indonesia. Tsunami. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there was a few deaths that had taken place, a couple hundred deaths.
1,200, over 1,200 right now.
Oh, I'm behind the times. Yeah. I hadn't known it. It was increasing. That, you know, that's quite a bit of loss of life.
Yeah.
And it happens so quickly. This is the thing that can be so scary. You have an earthquake that lasts for 60 seconds or maybe, you know, a little bit more, and the next thing you know, you got this wall of water coming. Yep. So let me ask you this. You know, before that tsunami that took place in, what was it, 2004?
Mm-hmm.
I never really paid attention to tsunamis. And now we have three ones that recently that were so large that you have loss of life and property. Yeah.
I think there's one in India, wasn't there? For sure. I might be wrong on that, but I think I'm thinking that there is one in India.
The ones that come off the top of my head, of course, was the one that was Banda Aceh, you know, in Indonesia, that caused the Indian Ocean to have that tsunami wave that just went all over the place.
Yeah.
And then the one with Fukushima, a nuclear power plant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and now this one here. There's been others down in the Samoas. Fiji. Yeah. Fiji is having a tremendous amount of
earthquakes. Might be Fiji, I was thinking of, yeah. But, I mean, that's it, and that is something that is actually more devastating than the earthquake itself. Because the waves that come in, you know, everybody thinks, oh, well, you know, it's just like a wave at the beach. No. This is like a building coming ashore. I mean, this thing is huge. We're talking waves 40 feet high in some cases.
And,
I mean, it takes everything. It just collapses buildings. You know, people are on their second and third floor thinking, you know, well, it'll go right underneath us. Yeah, it'll go right underneath you, all right. And you'll soon find yourself, you know, on the third floor with nothing underneath you holding you up.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just devastating. And some of the people, I remember seeing videos, they found video cameras or something, and it was, you know, the people sitting there and they're like, wow, look at this, you know, all the water left, you know. I mean, because it first sucks the water out. And, you know, people are like, oh, let's go down to the beach and collect seashells and stuff like that. And, you know, it shows people all these. And the locals are like, get out of here. Get out of here, you know.
Yeah.
Because they knew what was coming, you know.
And, yeah.
You know, but they didn't speak English. So people are going way high, taking pictures of everything, videos. Yeah, the water left and all that.
Yeah.
And then far off in the distance, they say, what's that? That's the wall of water coming back, you know.
Yeah.
And by the time you see it, it's too close. You cannot outrun it, you know.
And exactly. And so now getting back to the thing about the Ring of Fire. Okay, we've always had earthquakes, you know, and I think it's been like the last 150 years we have the technology to be able to measure them and
and
see what's going on with those. But, it, you know, of course, I think it's in Matthew 24 where Jesus says that we're going to have an increase, you know, of earthquakes. And, of course, we are seeing an increase. But in the last month, there has been a lot of big earthquakes, 6.5 and above, to where you have one that will be, like in Fiji, they had, it was first registered at about an 8.1, and they downgraded it to a 7.9, you know. And then it shifts the pressure to the other side of the Ring of Fire. And then you start to see that you have earthquakes that are happening on the coast of Chile and South America on the western coast. No, and so that brings us to why are we not seeing any activity happening in our area of the world in the Ring of Fire, which would be the Cascadia subduction zone and the San Andreas Fault. Now, if we're having all this activity on a regular basis in the other areas of the Ring of Fire, then what's the conclusion about those two areas?
Well, it's building up. I mean, the pressure's there.
Yeah. It's locked. It's locked, and the pressure is there, and they are concerned.
Getting stronger.
Well, they had a kind of like an alarm the other day. What was it, last week, off the 50 miles off the coast of Washington? I think it was a 6.6 on the Cascade Fault Line.
Yeah.
And, of course, that got people's attention. Because if that happens, now, you have the mountain range there. They say, I think it's Interstate 5, I think they were saying, that that the tsunami wave, if it was a big earthquake there. Now, what happens is that you have an earthquake, and then like what happened in the Japan earthquake, it erupts, and it's like a zipper. Once it starts moving in one place, then it starts going down. So it could run, you know, miles, if not 100 miles, like a zipper effect. And when that takes place, well, now you got a really long tsunami, and they feel as though it would be devastating to the western coast if the Cascadia should have that type of instant release of pressure rather than a little bit over time, you know, having one big release. It could be devastating, and this is what they train for there with the warnings and, you know, preparedness.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just not on the west coast. I mean, just this past, I'd say maybe 6 months ago, Oklahoma had an earthquake. Because we call our friends that live in Lawton, Oklahoma, is just located a few miles from there, you know, maybe 50 miles from there or something. And it wasn't a large one. It was like, you know, 3 point something, you know, I guess it was. I don't remember exactly. But we called our friends, make sure they were all right. And, you know, yeah, the house shook a little bit, but, you know, that's it. But Oklahoma, the middle of the United States.
You know?
I mean, it's just not isolated to the west coast. I mean, you know, there's a fault line running in Missouri up through the middle of America, and you know, that's increasing in activity as well. As a matter of fact, when we lived in Texas, I bought earthquake insurance as part of my house policy because there was a couple of earthquakes, you know, along that line. And it's funny, driving down the Texas highway, I think it's 35 south down, I want to say before Austin, it's right around Marcos, Texas. The fault line runs right through there, one of the off branches of the fault line from Missouri, the Missouri fault line. And you can see it. You know, there's like a 1 or 2, in some places a 3 or 4 foot, but 1 or 2 foot difference in the height of the ground where it's been, you know, already cracked up and all that stuff. And it's right, there's the fault line right there. And, you know, they built the highway. It goes, you know, up, a little up, you know, because you're going 3 foot up. But right there, but you look off to the side and you see the fault line run right underneath the expressway off to the other side, you know. And but it's, you know, right there. And I was growing up as a preteen and early teens, I was really interested in geology. So I know all about that stuff as far as an amateur status. But, you know, so I'd be telling my kids, yeah, that's the fault line right there. You know, you feel a little bump on the highway as you go.
Yeah.
But it's right there. Yeah.
Well, you're talking about the heartland of America here, yeah. And when you're talking about the New Madrid, it does have its own unique history, it's been quiet for some time now, mm-hmm. which would make a great segue into another area that we wanted to talk about is that the precursors before the earthquake in the New Madrid, and it was in 1811 and 1812, They found records talking about what had happened. And the people in that area said that they heard what they thought, because it's the only thing that they could equate it to, was cannon fire or huge explosions. Yep. You know, so months before, they're hearing these sounds, these huge explosions. And then, of course, they have the first earthquake. Higher than an eight point something, you know, and then you have all the aftershocks. It was so powerful that the Mississippi River ran backwards and it created the Kentucky Lake. And then they had a second one that took place. They were talking about sand plumes that were shooting up out of the ground because of the earthquake. And so it was devastating. It was very powerful, you know, so they noted there is a lot of pressure that is in that area, and it's the boom sounds. Now, the booms that they heard then were telling them that something was going to be happening, but the boom sounds that we're having today, they're around the world. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not sonic booms. You know, what's happening is that these sounds are emanating into the atmosphere. And one of the links that I had come across was about Gatesville,
Texas.
Yeah. And for some time now, they've been experiencing, but, you know, this is human nature. Okay, so you hear it and nothing, it doesn't affect your life in any negative way.
Right,
so you hear,
right. Yeah, just let it go.
You let it go. You know, you hear it 2-3 times a week, and it shakes the house a little bit, you know. But life goes on. Well, at the point of this YouTube, they had one that was so big that people started saying, listen, you got to figure out what's going on here, because we need to know. But that is not just an isolated area. This is happening in different areas across the country as well as other parts in the world. And it comes back to, I have never heard anybody other than, you know, the record in the New Madrid saying that they've heard these booms.
Right.
And so the question, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, the question is that what is generating them? What is happening to the world, to the earth, that we are having this, because then it flows into other aspects that we want to talk about.
Well, the part of it, I don't know if they're tied to seismic activity or not, but, I mean, there's the boom is a release of pressure from somewhere. I mean, that's what causes it. I mean, those reports of the sonic booms, you have, trees being knocked over. I've seen the report about animals dying off all around the world, millions of fish dying, right? And is it because of the boom? I mean, the old story about, you know, guy won, you know, went to a fishing contest, and this guy come in, and he had, like, all kinds of fish, and they weighed him, you know, he caught, you know, 100 fish, and everybody else is bringing in, like, 6 and 7. And he said, Where did you go fishing? I want to find that spot. You know, go, come on with me. And they pull on out, and he said, this is the spot. He goes, okay. So the guy's putting the bait on his hook, and this guy opens up a box, pulls out a stick of dynamite, lights it, throws it in the water. Right? Boom! You know, yeah. A dozen fish come to the top. He goes, what are you doing? He says, you can't use that. He says, you got it. He's getting all the fish. He goes, are you coming to fish? Or are you coming to talk?
Yes.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. Once again, we are all out of time for today's episode. We've been talking to a good friend of our ministry, Tom Donnan. Tom has a unique insight into the prayer realm and into the spiritual realm, and the Lord shows him some things in the spirit that we see happening in the news. And one of the things that Tom has been praying about is the and has received insight on is the increased activity in the Ring of Fire, which means there'll be increased earthquakes, increased volcanoes, and tsunamis and things like that. Now, at the time of today's recording, when I'm editing this for upload, the tsunami and earthquake in Indonesia was just about a week ago, and I interviewed Tom Donnan about a week prior to that, and he was already sharing this information with us. Folks, and we'll bring it up again in a later episode, but the point I'm trying to make to you is you need to come back and listen to part two, because we're going to continue talking with Tom. Matter of fact, you know, the insight that Tom is receiving, we see being played out nightly on the news in front of us, which is just confirmation of Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation that the soon return of Jesus is very near. And we need to get the word out to as many people as possible to help them, you know, hit heaven and miss hell. Amen. So come back tomorrow. Join us for part two of our, part two of our interview with Tom Donnan. 2 of 5. We're doing 5 parts this week. And get this information. Take notes. Go back and listen to it again. But be sure to come back in part two tomorrow. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.